A couple of years ago, I was part of a small group here at St. Matthew's, and we were sharing stories of receiving hospitality from others and what that was like and how hard it was for so many of us to receive the hospitality of others. And Maddie Brown, who's a parishioner here, shared a story from her work as a teacher in North St. Paul. She was working as an ESL teacher in an elementary school, and there was a Somali woman there who was young, who she worked with. This Somali woman was a family liaison, and they had worked together with several families and started to develop a relationship. Every day during lunch, all of the teachers and family liaisons would gather to just eat their lunch and get a break and catch up with one another. And this young Somali woman offered, almost every lunch period, she offered her lunch to the other women at the table. And many of them noticed that she had less lunch than they did. And they didn't want to inconvenience her. They didn't want her to go hungry. And so they repeatedly refused her offer of her lunch. Well, Maddie realized eventually how important it was for her to receive this woman's food. And so she did that one lunch period. And it was really powerful for both her and for the young Somali woman who was offering her food. The Somali woman was brought up in a culture where hospitality is a premium value, sharing what you have with others. Maddie also realized that by sharing her food, the Somali woman was sharing something of her culture, her history, and her identity. And of course, sharing food with another person and receiving it is a way of showing your acceptance of that person and really having communion with them. It was very powerful for Maddie to accept this woman's food, and it meant a lot to the woman, and I have never forgotten that story. In our gospel lesson, Jesus calls his top 12 students or disciples, and he begins to send them out two by two. And he sends them out with the authority to heal others and to have power over unclean spirits, meaning anything that is not of God. And if that wasn't asking them to be vulnerable enough, Jesus orders to take nothing for their journey except their staff, their sandals, and the clothing that they're wearing. They're to take no bread, no bag, no money, no credit card, no extra clothing. When they get to a new place and are welcomed into a home, they are to stay there, not to move to a better place, but to stay in the place where they are first received. If any place does not welcome them, they are to shake off the dust on their feet and move on. Imagine leaving your comfort zone, your family, your friends, your culture, and everything you hold dear, and departing for who knows where and what. Even more challenging, you can't take any reminders of home or small comforts with you. Not your favorite pillow. Not your French press in case there's no Starbucks in the village. No sleep mask, no snacks, no iPhone, no earbuds so you can cheer yourself up with your favorite songs or podcasts. You are to travel lightly and to be completely reliant on others' hospitality. I wonder if any of you have found yourselves completely reliant on the hospitality of others at any point in your life. While not traveling as lightly as Jesus' disciples, I have received the hospitality of others so many times when traveling in this country and around the world. I remember in France, I met a woman in my aerobics class, and the week before I was departing to come back to San Diego, she asked me if I'd had the specialty of Nantes, a white fish with beurre blanc, and I said that I hadn't. She said, I'm going to take you out to dinner. And she took me out for this amazing three-course meal so I could have this specialty of her home city. In Louisville, a volunteer I met at the local historical archives when I was staying in a pretty seedy local hotel as a graduate student invited me to stay with her. She showed me around the city and introduced me to all of her friends. What was most difficult and moving as I traveled was receiving the hospitality of others when my country had at one time occupied or engaged in political maneuvering that hurt the host country in which I found myself. In Vietnam, for example, a man I didn't know treated me to a delicious coconut full of milk on a very hot and humid day right next to the Cuchi tunnels where the Viet Cong had lived and tried to resist American occupation of their country. Every day, you and I have opportunities, large and small, to extend and to receive hospitality. We continually encounter people whom we can acknowledge or not acknowledge, share food with or receive food from, help or ignore. And this giving and receiving of hospitality gets more difficult and complicated and important when we are giving or receiving hospitality with people who have completely different opinions, worldviews, and political perspectives than us. This is usually where it is hard to rely on our own strength, but we must rely on God's strength. When we open ourselves to others we have previously understood as opponents or our enemies, we can be hurt, or God can do amazing things, break down barriers, and enable us to see one another's humanity. Our participation in God's life, our communion with God, enables us to be in communion with others. As followers of the way of Jesus, we are able to live lives of giving and receiving hospitality because we worship a God who is both guest and host. We're able to offer hospitality and to be the recipients of the hospitality of others because every week we have the opportunity to participate in divine hospitality through our worship. God's hospitality and worship is something deeply related to our everyday lives, to our economic, political, and our public lives. In worship, we have the opportunity to participate in God's triune life, to get a taste of God's kingdom or reign, to, in the words of Elizabeth Newman, discover how to live out of an abundance heretofore unimagined. Newman continues, like the ancient Israelites receiving the manna in the wilderness, we are tempted to resist living out of the conviction that our host will provide. How can we trust God's provision when our lives and world seem deeply marked by scarcity, when we, like the Israelites, seem to be wandering in a dry and desolate wilderness? We are tempted, rather, to hunker down, hoarding for our children, fearing the stranger, and relinquishing the possibility of a good that is larger than ourselves. And yet to do so is to allow ourselves to be determined by a story that is not our own. The Christian story says that God sent his Son to us in great vulnerability, relying on our hospitality, relying on the hospitality of the world. Even when we rose up against Jesus and killed him, God provided a new and hopeful future through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that nothing can separate us from God, not even the thing that we fear most, death. And in our communal worship, like the worship of Jesus' earliest followers, Jesus is both guest and host. He offers us hospitality in the form of bread, wine, healing prayers, the remembrance of God's faithfulness, and renewal, so that we can then offer hospitality to everyone we meet once we leave this church. Jesus feeds us so that we can be his guest and host. As we learn more about God from those we meet and share the good news of God's power to save in both word and deed. Amen.